Average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is the best of the Bean Found Show.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Bean Found Show, your show to help you find buying customers online, and the show that asks the question that when people search for your services online, are they finding you or are they finding your competitors? I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, filling in for Cloudwise Joe, and this is Jake.
My name is Jake, and I'm your co-host today.
You're my co-host.
That's it.
My sidekick, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird that you wore, like, the superhero costume, you know, the leotard.
I did?
Yeah, just kidding.
Oh, yeah, no. Not today.
Right. So our first topic up for today is, like, really kind of what motivates you to succeed and, like, how to harness it. And I had a funny thing happen to me on the way down here. You know, I find myself – I'm a pretty snarky, sarcastic individual. So I constantly find myself, like, looking at other people in their lives and then relating it to my own life and either asking – what exactly did I do wrong or what exactly did I do right to be in this situation, you know, compared to some other lives right, that I see? And I don't mean my friends and stuff like that. I just mean, like, you know, I'll see people on the side of the road and I'll invent my own little backstory. And it's purely recreational. Yeah. So I stop off at Stumpy's on the way here to get a drink and, and I come pulling up, and here's this guy wearing, like, super stretched-out pajamas, like, basically holding him up as he goes in there. And I'm just like, okay, well, what's going on with this guy? And so I follow him in, and I get my drink, and I'm in line behind him, and he's just all... first off, for those of you listening online, this show is from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Saturday morning. So it's about 8:30 as this is happening. And he says, I'd like a pint of vodka. and I'm like watching this going like, all right. He's just all, and the guy's just all, oh yeah, a pint. And he's all, yeah, I'm trying to cut back. And I'm just all like, and he's like totally serious, you know? And so this was one of my moments in life that I'm like looking and going, I've either done something totally right with my life where I'm not in this situation, or I've done something totally wrong because here I am going to work and do a radio show on Saturday morning while this guy's getting a pint of vodka, you know. I hadn't really decided which one I was, you know. And so, you know, that really kind of, you know, put an exclamation point on, like, what motivates us and, you know, how to get through those motivations and stuff like that. And so, you know, the first question that kind of popped up for me for motivating and with my kids is like, if you're not happy with what you're doing in life, you know, we kind of live in this world where everybody has been told, do what you love And anything less than that, you're not doing it right. But, like, we also live in a world where I'm guessing nobody loves flipping burgers.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But everybody loves eating them.
Yeah.
You know, so we need people to flip burgers.
Yeah.
You know, so the advice that I've told my kids is, like, number one, do what you love. But if that doesn't work out, number two, do what you're good at so that you can afford to do what you love mm-hmm. when you're not working.
And it's okay to have a starting point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah. I swept shop floors for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, landing in a career where you do what you're good at,
yep.
you know, is definitely where it's at, you know. So, I don't know. What? Jake's a new father.
It's true.
So your new motivation is probably something new.
Well, you know, the finances are more important than they used to be
right.
and tighter, which I think those things are always correlating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, got more mouths to feed, gotta make sure I'm doing a good job.
But you also go out less and spend less money on recreation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Fact.
But before you had the kids, you were hardworking. Your wife was hardworking. What was your motivation before you had the kids? To get the kids?
No. Is this a loaded question? Are you expecting an answer here? No.
No.
Okay.
Really.
Well, you know, motivation for working and doing a good job is that doing a good job is in itself a good thing. It has intrinsic value. So.
So doing a good job was its own reward.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds a little cheesy when you say it. Like
it does. It does. You know, everybody listening now just rolled their eyes going,
yeah,
oh, man, Jake's that guy. He's a goody-goody. Jake's a square.
It's true. I am a square.
I don't know if you're a square. You know, so this kind of prompts the old question. You know, the reason why I'm really asking this is I've found myself throughout my life feeling motivated and then not motivated. And I'm at this point in my life where my kids are moving out and they're moving mm-hmm. on. And, you know, for the past 17, 18 years, my motivation has been don't mess this up, you know.
Yeah.
Fear is the grand motivator for me.
Mm.
You know, I was totally irresponsible 17 years ago. I probably can't even really go into it on the radio, but I was incredibly irresponsible. And then all of a sudden I have a baby and I'm raising a baby by myself. I'm holding the baby.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there with like five dude roommates in a pile of beer cans holding a baby going like, what am I going to do? You know, I basically screwed up everything in my entire life. But if I screw this one up, I have a life of guilt and possibly prison, you know. So fear has been the great motivator. But here I am now trying to find a new motivation, and that's mm-hmm. really what prompted my topic. So, you know, I always tell myself to fake it till I make it. But I'm not sure if that's really a good thing. That's kind of like not accepting your limitations, not accepting who you are in order to make those changes. It's sort of like spending your life trying to shove the square peg into the round hole, fake mm-hmm. it till you make it, because sometimes maybe that just doesn't work.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard fake it till you make it. You know, that's a common phrase. And I've also heard a kind of a new-ish or phrase, fail forward.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
You know, those both kind of have the same ideas behind them. I'm in a job every day where I kind of have to fail forward. And it's okay. You know, if you screw it up, that's kind of like faking it till you make it.
Right.
I just like the idea of fail forward better because, you know, you try something, maybe you don't make it the first time, try it again.
It does seem like a little more honest of an approach. Fake it till you make it seems like you make a mistake and you're all, oh, no, that was great. You know,
yeah.
Where fail forward means like I made the mistake and I'm going to learn and move on.
Right.
Yeah. So, so that was kind of my other thought there. It's like, where do you draw the line on weakness or limitation and the lack of motivation? It's like, where do you have to accept your limiting points, and where do you have to, like, move on? Where do you have to say, I need to either hire some help or hire a teacher, and where do you...
And how much time do we have?
A minute.
Okay, so real fast. If the square could give advice to anyone right now, it's don't load yourself up with so much debt that you're afraid to try the new thing that you might be better at and more equipped to do.
Mm.
That's, I mean, a huge deal. I've been able to switch careers in my life because I didn't have a ton of debt and I wasn't afraid to quit my job.
Right, right, yeah.
So don't let fear drive those decisions that you're making to go find what you love or what you're well-equipped to do.
All right, so I think that's a good answer. Get those shackles off your feet so you have the freedom to try something else. You're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Redding or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Shining Care is proud to present It Takes a Community to Keep Our Seniors Safe Symposium with keynote speaker Paul Greenwood. Join us June 5th, 8 to 4 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino, free to the public with lunch. There'll be speakers, resource exhibits, and a panel of experts to take your questions. Seating is limited. Registration required at shiningcare.org/upcoming events. The free Keep Our Elders Safe Symposium is sponsored by PSA2, Passages, Redding Rancheria, and My Umbrella Marketing.
Back to the Being Found Show, the show that asks you, are you being found by your potential buying customers? And if not, who is? In our last segment, we were talking about what motivates us. You know, that was a That was a fitting tune for that one. Up here, you know, we're going to talk about repurposing content. I know that's a very exciting term. but it actually is really exciting because most people don't do it. I don't do it enough. And Jake and I don't do it enough. That's but true. What repurposing your content really can do is sort of liberate you in the sense that you will find yourself needing to make less content and you will find yourself being able to be more creative. You know, as a internet marketer guy, that's the technical term for it, for you guys out there that don't know. You know, I own my own business, and people are just all like, oh, so you get to make your own hours. You get to choose your own hours. And I'm all, yeah, all of them. Those are the ones I got to choose.
You know?
Yeah. But I do say that most jobs are basically a bunch of BS and, you know, maybe 5% creativity. But internet marketing, you know, I get like 15% creativity. There's still a lot of checklists. There's still a lot of stuff that just has to be done. But 5 to 15%, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
And when you're repurposing content and sort of learning to be, I don't want to use this word smarter, but when you're moving up to the next level of doing your content, mm-hmm. you know, you can up that to 20, 25% about getting creative with what you're working with.
Yeah.
You know, so let me explain to you how you can repurpose your content. Any business out there with a website needs content. So in your case of your website, it's textual content. So, you know, you write a blog. And that blog can be turned into a video by doing a voiceover and running a slideshow. So there, you just repurposed your content. Now you can upload that video everywhere and share it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but wait. That video had the audio. So now you extract the audio from the video. You now have an audio file that you can upload everywhere and share it. Oh, but you actually wrote a blog. That can be changed to a PDF. That can be put into print media so mm-hmm. that you can print it in some sort of industry newspaper and so on and so forth. There is like a huge opportunity for you, for one, to make better content and sort of keep this creativity in mind. And you can really spread one good piece of content a long, long way. You know, you can get a month sometimes. I mean, if it's great, you could get several months worth of juice from mm-hmm. one piece of content.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you're doing all the legwork up front. Why not take advantage of all those different verticals with that original content?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the hard part tends to be wrapping your brain around all of it and all the potential. You know, I think that's what kind of holds a lot of us back is that, you know, we're flying by the seat of our pants. We're trying to make businesses survive. You know, who has time? Well, I'm a marketing guy, but I realize that a lot of you guys out there listening are not marketing guys. You're just business owners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean just business owners, but, you know, you don't have time to also be a marketing guy.
Yeah.
So it's like you come to guys like us and you say, just do it. And then guys like us put it into the mill, and then businesses want to see an immediate return for their buck, which automatically brings down quality. And as soon as quality is brought down, your repurposing becomes less effective,
mm-hmm.
you know, because... So, you know, if I could tell anybody to do anything, it would basically be just invest yourself in just writing this great blog and then set it off to the side. Go ahead and keep the mill going on the other side. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, set it off to the side and really just push it.
Yeah.
You know? So Jake and I really work together doing content marketing, and this is something that we could really do more, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And we had that discussion, I think, earlier this week about how a good way to potentially make a video voiceover of some of the content we've already created.
Right.
Because we've made some great content. Why not take that extra step?
Yeah, and I guess, the hard part that I'm not addressing that maybe some other marketing people out there are scoffing at is that things get expensive when you bring in creatives.
That's true.
You know, so like, let's say I want to turn my blog into an infographic. You know, that's not cheap. I can't really just do it myself.
Yeah.
There are some programs out there that are infographic creators.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good, but they're not like creative. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're basically just using their template and putting mm-hmm. in your own statistics and so on and so forth.
Which is a good starting point.
It is
If you've got the time and you can jump on, I'm thinking of Canva right now. canva.com.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I mean, they must have hundreds of templates you just plug your words and data into.
And what is that one? Do they have a free option? Or?
They do have a free option, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one. There's another one, Presently.
Presently?
Yeah, and it's like, it's made for presentations, but you can really just sort of quickly and easily, without any skill, sort of create these kind of cool, like interactive slideshow things. Slideshow is not even really the word. So let's say it like zooms in on a part of the picture and then it zooms out and comes over to this statistic and stuff like that. But really, it's made for your average Joe to get in there and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, if I could get a time machine, I would go back in time and probably kill J.R.R. Tolkien. Because when I was a kid, I loved The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it sort of left me with this attitude that everything needs to just be epic and perfect. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so he's like the standard and the rest of the world is not quite as good.
Now. Right. He wasn't an author. He was making the language. He was like cooking the cookies. He was writing the songs. I'm not kidding. He actually has like cookie recipes. I've made them because I was like so obsessed with these books when
I was
little. Yeah.
So do you speak Elvish? I just got to know.
No.
Okay.
Well. No. I could never get it perfect enough. No. But I would say that everybody needs to learn that there's tiers of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely the learning tier. And you really just have to, well, it's like we were saying earlier, you have to fail forward. Just get in there and do it.
Make it. Yeah.
And put it out there. And basically, if it's not out there and in your face, you won't be sitting there thinking, how can it be better the next time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So put it in your face. Let yourself be a little bit embarrassed because people aren't really looking at your stuff like that. You know, people are looking at your stuff like, I don't know, it's way disposable to them. They have no emotional investment in your stuff.
Yeah, and that's a very common thing. I think artists have this issue where they all hate their paintings.
Right. Yeah.
Well, who cares if you hate your painting?
Right.
Does it get the point across?
Right.
Do other people like it? Put it out there. Spend a couple hours on something. Put it on your website. See what happens.
Right. Exactly. You know, and you'll find yourself repurposing your content. So,
right.
So basically, as a business owner, you got a content company, you got a marketing company. Ask them if they're making you content, blogging or anything like that. And say, okay, well, for the next 2 months, why don't we take one of these pieces of content, just one, and why don't we try to make something really, really good and see if it works out better than the other ones? Because one really, really good piece of content and all of its satellite expansions can be way more effective
mm-hmm.
than 100. All right, you're listening to The Being Found Show. Come on back.
Turn around. purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Being Found Show, the show that asks you, are you being found by your potential buying customers? And if not, who is? And the answer is, just in case you're not sure, it's your competitors. Your competitors are who's being found. If you're interested, you can check us out at beingfound.com or check us out on Facebook, or you can search for the Being Found Show, and hopefully we'll be found, because if we aren't, well then... we got some problems, but I do know that we will be found because that's our focus. Here we're talking about insights that will help you serve today's B2B buyer. B2B, for those of you who don't know or maybe new to all this, B2B is business to business, and B2C is business to consumer. And B2B is traditionally, I don't know if you can say traditionally for the internet, but,
well,
you know, generations are small on the internet. So we're like, you know, we're like 40 generations in, so we're good.
And they change every day.
So. Right, right. You know, B2B is more difficult, much more difficult.
Yeah.
This article that we're talking about that's on Think with Google, the article is actually called Three Insights That Will Help You Serve Today's B2B Buyer. Although I don't think that the article title is very good. I think that there are much more than three insights shared in this article, mm-hmm. although they give mm-hmm. themselves three headings, you know. So if you want to, you can check that out and look it up. Think with Google is this great site that is basically Google taking all the data, statistical data that they've acquired over the years and now currently, and sort of sharing it with people so that they can better market.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good explanation?
Oh, yeah. 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 That's a great tool.
Yeah. And so B2B is traditionally much more difficult for several reasons. One is, the obvious one, there's a lot less of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot less businesses than there are consumers.
Right.
You know, there's, 300 million plus in the United States? And I doubt there's 300 million plus businesses.
That's probably true.
Right. And me as an SEO, from an SEO standpoint, B2B is extra difficult because you end up picking up all that B2C traffic,
mm-hmm.
and that traffic says, nope, we're out.
Right, and then you got a bounce rate.
And then you got all this negativity that comes along with that, man.
Yeah.
So here we're talking about, well, basically, there's an interesting paragraph at the beginning of this article, and I'll read it here. The way B2B buyers research and shop has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. The days when buyers would simply visit their local B2B store, talk with their sales rep, or order through a catalog are disappearing. With digital at the helm, most buyers are starting their purchase journey without setting foot in a store, even if they ultimately purchase offline. And that's sort of been the traditional way for B2B, is using that sales rep
mm-hmm.
and getting it out there. But, you know, this article makes a good point that B2B needs to be much more immediate. You know, a good thing that popped to my head when I was listening to this about getting the point of immediacy across to people is my stepfather, Gottfried, he is a mechanic that fixes the magazine presses that almost every major magazine uses in the country. And so magazines have deadlines.
Yeah.
And if your printing press is broken, you don't reach your deadline. And so when Gottfried is called out to a place, if they need a part and that part is somewhere in Europe, they don't order that part. What they do is they charter a plane. They put Gottfried on that plane. Gottfried flies to Europe, picks up that part, gets back in the plane, and flies back with the part so that that thing can be fixed
wow.
and done on time. So we're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
you know, in order to make this happen. But, you know, hopefully this illustrates the point of when you're dealing with B2B, your needs can be straight up immediate.
Yeah.
You know, and so a large part of what this article is talking about is basically that in B2B, a lot of the research that people are doing is online, but ultimately a lot of those purchases are still in store, which is a little shocking because we live in this world where so much of it has changed online. I think we were talking about statistics, and that was like 68% of 100 people have made an online purchase in the last 30 days, and like 98% of them have made an online purchase at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like practically everybody.
Yeah.
You know, or at least everybody old enough to have a credit card.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include the dark web. But, you know, I think this is a good illustrating point for branding. You know, branding has become this, at first it was like this this buzzword where everybody's all, oh, branding, you know, what's your brand's font and what's your brand's scent? You know, my brand scent is BS, you know? So it started out as a buzzword.
Yeah.
And then later it became a joke. You know, oh, what's your brand? Yeah. But really, in B2B, I think branding is a great place to make that happen because it sort of pulls everything together into a single message that you can really get out there. You know, so don't worry about the font. Worry about the message.
Yeah,
worry about
absolutely.
The culmination of the message. Here's our mission statement, and we follow through with that. Mm-hmm. You know, 58% of B2B industrial manufacturer purchases start online research with a product, then follow up with a brand. So basically what this is saying is sales reps are out. You know, these businesses are doing the same thing that everybody else used to do, and they're trying to undercut their costs. So if you're a B2B business, I think the real takeaway here is that, you know, keep your sales reps. I'm not telling you to go fire all your sales reps.
Right.
But make sure that your website, your web presence, and your sales reps are all in line with one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm constantly hearing frustrations about sales reps that they're not available or that they just made the purchase and took the money and, like, now they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so make sure that your sales reps are in line with your websites. You know, it could even be as simple as allowing somebody to log into your website and having a form where they can select that rep and send them an email immediately or send them a message.
Yeah.
That's also CC'd to their higher-ups so that, you know.
And I think the statement you made a minute ago, online research tends to be broad, an exploration of what's out there rather than a targeted search. This kind of speaks to on-site SEO. B2B customers are researching the not you per se, but your product before they're making the decision of who to buy from. So if you can get in their search while they're doing that initial research, by using on-site SEO, that's a big deal. It means, I mean, you're the one controlling the flow of information to them about the products they're looking to buy. They're much more likely to look at you, but when they decide, okay, now I need to pick my B2B supplier.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying, and I think a good tactic there would be to sort of exploit the B2C audience by being available during that research phase.
Mm-hmm.
Because during that research phase, you can basically suck up both B2B and B2C and provide that research information without really worrying about these sort of big bounce rates and stuff like that.
Right.
Because they're just doing their research. And then basically they're going to search for bulk items and, you know, and at that point probably follow the brand back because, you know, let's say I have a shop and I sell Chauncey's Wingdings,
mm-hmm.
and they say, oh, this is great. Wingding.com sells Chauncey's Wingdings, but now I want a bulk order of Chauncey's Wingdings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to Chauncey'sWingdings.com and try to find out, you know, where I can get these bulk straight from manufacturer purchase, you know.
That's right.
So that's really what they're saying about branding. We're coming up on a commercial break, so stick around. You're listening to the Bean Found Show.
Yeah.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation.
I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch and a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Show, the show that asks a bunch of stuff about your business and whether you're doing well or not. Kind of fell apart on that one. You know, but this is sort of a little bit more of a lighthearted topic here. The topic that we're going to discuss for this last segment here on the Being Found Show, and if you're interested, check us out at beingfound.com, is if social media doesn't convert, what's the point? And this can be applied to a lot of things, that if these things don't convert to dollars, what's the point, you know? And I think the most immediate answer to this would be that not having a Facebook page is the equivalent of not having a fancy business card in the 80s. You know, if you don't have one, chances are you're not really a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's this sort of like broader range of conversion that really is very, very difficult to get statistics on. And, you know, so having this sort of presence adds credibility that maybe will never, ever be talked about outside of the person's own psyche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of fits into what we were talking about last time about market research. You know, I mean, wouldn't you find a business that had a social media presence to be more credible?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I would even do some research there, you know, if I was going to be making a purchase from that company.
Yeah, and I would too. And we live in a weird time where people's personal opinions are marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little blown away. I was listening to some conservative talk radio show, and they have like Patriot Mobile. Basically, are you sick of your mobile phone company giving to all of these liberal causes? So now you can get this conservative phone company that will only give to conservative causes. And then there's another one that's like a competitor for AARP only. It's like the conservative AARP. And I live up here in Reading, so I have a lot of access to conservative stuff. But I can guarantee you that the liberal side is doing this as well. They've monetized that. And so people go to this social media stuff, they say, this is in line with who I am and what I've done. And, you know, so you go to your company and they're just all like, oh, well, we had the big event where we gave to the, you know, to the Pride Parade. And, and people will say, that's totally in line with what I, you know, so it's getting really sort of weird that this stuff can be so much in your social media realm. I am not telling local business to do this. Actually, I think it's a little weird, you know, that you would put your political opinion in there. But I am just pointing out that a lot of people have monetized this to their advantage.
Well, you know, you pay a marketer to come up with some great ideas, and someone thought, well, let's try this. Let's see if this one sticks.
Yeah. Well, this is a little off topic, but I was reading that we're even more divided politically than we were during the election. And like statistically, I'm like, how is that possible, man? People were like up in arms. It was like crazy, you know. But I think the reason why we are more divided is because both sides figured out how to monetize this stuff. You know, so now there's not only people's opinions and the political machine with two different ideas, but there's also thousands upon thousands of Joes and Schmoes pumping money into it on a marketing level, you know. But, you know, this actually started out as talking about what's the point of having social media. And the point is to get your message out there and convert, because what you're doing is you're ingraining yourself in people's brains. Mm-hmm. You're ingraining trust factor. Trust factor is an incredibly difficult thing to put a number on.
Yeah.
You know, but just by merely being there, people are going, all right, well, these guys are going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
You know, one good way to illustrate this is one SEO ranking factor is if you've bought your domain name for 10 years. Because Google will look at that and say, these people are planning on being here for the long haul.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're more apt to serve them up because they're not some fly-by-night thing that might be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe $700 to make a 10-year purchase of your domain name.
Yeah.
You know, and wait, $700? More like $100. Yeah. Sorry, I lost my.
It depends on the domain name.
Yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you want supercalifragilistic, xvla, sandwich at co.uk, you know, you might be able to get that for way cheaper. But yeah, so if you're sitting there asking yourself, if social media doesn't convert, then what is the point? The point is trust factor, backlinking.
Mm-hmm.
So not only trust factor to a human being, but also trust factor to Google search engines, you know, so on and so forth. And really sort of chipping away at the next step in your business's growth. You know, you have to dabble. You have to get in there and you have to try. And the best time to try, frankly, is when no one's looking.
Well, you know, and it's you can do a pretty simple just risk and reward sort of a situation. What are you really risking by setting up your social media sites?
Right.
Very little time and zero money. So do it.
Absolutely. I guess that's the best argument is what's the risk? And the risk is none.
And the potential reward is there. You know, and you can experiment with that ad nauseum.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Until the cows come home. Right. For everyone who doesn't speak Latin. I don't either, but I heard that.
Right. That's ad nauseum. That's Northern California Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Until the cows come home. You know, and this is the case with all the big social media. You know, I don't know if you need to go run down Tumblr with your local business. You know, it of course depends on what you're doing. If you're selling T-shirts and water pipes, you might want to hit Tumblr. But really, if you have a normal business, you know, Tumblr is probably not the place for you. But you want to hit LinkedIn, you want to hit Facebook, you want to hit Twitter. And even if you're just all, well, nothing is going on here, you know, at least you're starting, at least you're doing something, and at least you're out there.
And I will say this. I teach high school kids at Cloudwise Academy in the evenings, and every time I have a class, one of the first classes, I actually do a show of hands to see what social media sites they're on, just to satisfy a little curiosity for myself. Among these high school students, Facebook is actually going down. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a Facebook account. You should. They're still, I think, the number one social media site out there. But, you know, I am saying that you need to change with the times as they change. So there's a handful
of better. Instagram, Twitter. Because I've seen a rise with Twitter with my kids and their friends.
Yeah, Pinterest. Another big one.
Yeah, and Pinterest is the one that, you know, used to be the mom website.
That's right. And then someone put a barbecue on there, and it's okay for dads now, too.
Well, I'm always surprised. You know, Joe and I had an entire segment about the amount of traffic that was actually coming to a lot of our websites from Pinterest, which I felt like, oh, my God, you know, this is crazy. Yep. But it's like, I find Pinterest in search results, and I find myself really enjoying it when I'm there, you know.
Yeah, and they've got a good thing going.
All right, so the question is, if social media does not convert, then what's the point? And the point is, it doesn't convert directly, but it does help your other conversion points. Get yourself out there, get on it, make it happen. Screw around with it.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? You're listening to The Being Found Show. Thanks for checking us out.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.